live in the 2023 Steve Chong Show, part of Open Mic, on CJSF 90.1 FM, the campus community radio station for Simon Fraser University. I'm your host, Steve Chong. There will be more independent music, additional commentary on the SFU athletics, the trails that led to the cancellation of SFU football, along with scores from the BC Premier Baseball and Northwest Leagues. First up in the second half is the third act of the hour, Ellen Noon's single, Incorrigible Youth. Sorry about that. That was Ellen Noon's single, Incorrigible Youth. I'd like to provide additional updates on the SAF Athletics at this time. Three more awards were announced on June 29th. 10 student athletes earned Nadine Scholar Athlete Awards, where eligibility is completing at least 3 semesters. 10. Mackenzie Almeida of soccer with a 3.94 CGPA in business and economics. 2 students were tied for 8th. Brooke Dexter of volleyball with a 3.97 CGPA in biological sciences. And Jordan Schmidt of track and field and cross country with a 3.97 CGPA in business and psychology. There was also a 2-way tie for 6th. Madison Pugh of track and field with a 4-point CGPA in kinesiology, and Ryan Stolies of men's golf with a 4 CGPA in computer engineering. 5. Matt Hobson of men's soccer with a 4.04 CGPA in molecular biology and biochemistry. There was a tie for 3rd. Mitchell Gibbs of track and field with a 4.18 CGPA in economics and business, and Owen Gusmanson of men's wrestling with a 4.818 CGPA in molecular biology and biochemistry. 2. Emily Chilton of track and field with a 4.24 GPA in biomedical physiology, her fifth Nadine Caron Scholar Athlete Award. The top Nadine Caron Scholar Athlete Award, the top Nadine Caron Scholar Athlete Award went to Randon Hall Men's Swimming, who earned a 4.31 CGPA in mathematical physics. Student trainer Stephen Ho earned the 2022-23 Kip Doherty Award, which recognizes a team trainer or manager who symbolizes dedication and outstanding work ethic. The final award on June 29th was the 2023 Rick Jones Award, won by Aiden Goodfellow of Men's Golf, who overcame a back surgery 2 years ago to return to the links. Here is Goodfellow's story.
Two years ago, SFU men's golfer Aiden Goodfellow could barely swing a club. He injured his shoulder in January 2021 and went through rehab during COVID. Goodfellow played three tournaments that fall, but wasn't fully healthy. He had to make a decision on shoulder surgery. And around the same time, Goodfellow suffered a second career-threatening injury.
Yeah, I mean, from a physical sense, it was just, I had a torn Achilles tendon, fully torn, and a torn labrum in my shoulder. Basically, within a couple months of each other, for the most part, I had a surgery done last February, and on top of COVID being right before all this kind of went down, it was a really, really hard year and a half.
Aiden contemplated his future in the sport.
I started golfing when I was 10 years old, and I've wanted to be a professional golfer ever since. This was probably the first time I ever questioned that. I was playing with my injury for about a year, fighting through it, you know, taping it up with KT tape every single day. You know, I had just a rash like light up on my shoulder from the skin being ripped off, and I just kind of said, I can't do this anymore. If the surgery doesn't work, I'm done. You know, and I'm extremely grateful that things turned out the way they did.
In his first tournament back from surgery, after nearly a year in recovery and away from competition, Goodfellow won the St. Martin's Bishop Invitational in September, leading the Red Leafs to the team title as well.
First tournament I've ever won in college, so that was obviously a huge moment for me to ever think that I would get at that point again in my college career, let alone in any setting, is pretty remarkable for me to wrap my head around. Especially thinking about the low points of where I was at, you know, just 7-8 months prior. I hadn't played a tournament from about 2019 until this fall of 2022. I'd played one or two, kind of half hurt, not very well. So this was the first time I felt like I was fully healthy since 2019 playing an event. It's definitely the high point of my time here. To even fathom getting to that place in February of the previous year, so just 7-8 months prior, I would have never, ever thought that was possible. So having my team there too, they were extremely proud of me, which made me feel even better. You know, like they've seen firsthand what it looks like to be that hurt and just hurt overall, mentally and physically. So for them to be standing there when watching me make that final putt on the last day, it was pretty special. It's a moment I probably won't ever forget.
Goodfellow wants his fellow athletes to enjoy their time here at Simon Fraser, to not take things for granted, and to reach out for help.
I think get to some pretty dark places, I'd say. So I definitely reached out for help with, you know, mental health professionals around our program, and it was easy to tell them how I was feeling right away, because I hadn't talked to anybody about it. I kind of kept things to myself. So they helped me kind of perceive my situation in a much healthier way.
Meanwhile, after announcing nominees for various awards this week, the SFU Athletics announced the 2023 winners today. For the 2022-23 season, with 11 award winners. Jared Chong in track and field as men's freshman of the year, Victoria Seal in women's wrestling as women's freshman of the year, Randy McDonald as men's Terry Fox inspirational athlete, Emily Q as women's Terry Fox inspirational athlete, Ryan Stolies as Bill DeVries all-around senior, Alex Oak as Lauren Davies women's team sport athlete, Mark Talasuna as Lauren Davies men's team sport athlete, Charlie Donat as Lauren Davies men's individual sport athlete, Mariella LeClaire as women's individual sport athlete, Emily Chilton as Ryan Stolies SAC excellence in leadership, and women's track and field as President's Athletic Team of the Year.
CJSF 90.1 FM is the campus radio station for Simon Fraser University, located on Burnaby Mountain in BC, Canada. As a campus and community station, CJSF strives to provide points of view that are rarely expressed on mainstream media. This includes music that is not the top 40 and news you will not find on the big media outlets. CJSF 90.1 FM. Diverse, independent, yours. Check us out on SoundCloud or at cjsf.ca. Just a bend in time.
And how does it feel together?
I'd like to provide the trail on the cancellation of SFU football at this time. On June 28th, Bob Mackin wrote an article for Business in Vancouver about the process that led to the SFU football being canceled via Freedom of Information records. After finding out SFU football losing its affiliate membership for 2024 in the Texas-based Lone Star Conference, a confidential document on January 30th stated the football program will get canceled. 2 days later, James Beresford, SFU President Joy Johnson's chief of staff, forwarded the document to Angie LaMarche. The same day, SFU Athletics Director Teresa Hansen and Coach Mike Riddell announced there will be a season this fall, but another update will be later this year. On February 27th and 28th, the SFU Athletics Director Teresa Hansen called NCAA, U Sports, and NAIA executives. On March 6th, a briefing note from Hansen and SFU Vice Provost Rumana Khanhemani gave two options. One, announce the immediate cancellation of football. Two, play through the season and announce a cancellation at the end of last game, which would have been on December 1st against UBC in Trumbull 35. Hansen and Hemani recommended immediate termination, claimed there was no other option in the NCAA, with NAIA and U Sports barred SFU from switching. 2 days later, on March 8th, SFU football players started their off-season workouts. On March 10th, Hansen prepared a breakdown of running the SFU football team. $890,000 in total, with $420,000 for salary, benefits, and $400,000 for travel. On March 24th, Hansen prepared a detailed breakdown of financial penalties to SFU's Board of Governors. SFU will honor financial aid commitments for students projected at $363,500 and up to $425,000, pay $75,000 in severance to full-time coaching staff, membership termination fee to the Lone Star Conference at $50,000, and non-conference at $35,000, adding up to $200,000 in cutting contractual obligations. The March 24th document also outlined the number of athletes under the SFU umbrella, 400 across 19 NCAA varsity sports, 99 of which play for SFU football, with 66 expecting to return for the fall, 13 incoming recruits with 4 full-time coaching staff, and 10 to 12 part-time coaches. The March 24th document also detailed the reasons of canceling the SFU football program: depleted SFU roster, injury risks, and an 18-103 record since SFU joined NCAA in 2010, where SFU football went 1-8 in 2022. The decision was delivered to SFU football players and staff on April 4th. 9 days later, 5 SFU players filed an injunction against the SFU administration. But the BC Supreme Court rejected the application on May 11th, the same day SFU hired Bob Copeland as a special advisor to explore options for the team. On June 13th, Copeland recommended SFU do not to play football this fall. Bob Mackin's article on business in Vancouver from June 28th has drawn widespread condemnation on Twitter. The next day, former Red Leafs football snapper Andrew Goodman announced his commitment to Bryant University Bulldogs on Twitter.
You are listening to CJSF 90.1, broadcasting live from up on Burnaby Mountain. At CJSF, we air public service announcements for not-for-profit community groups, organizations, and events. And we encourage you to submit a PSA and to please send it by email to cjsfpsa@sfu.ca. Be sure to include the details, like the name and contact information for the organization, date, time, location, and a short description of the event or service. Send your PSA information to cjsfpsa@sfu.ca.
I'd like to shift gears to the British Columbia Premier Baseball League at this time. It is considered to be the highest level of baseball for BC high school students, with many earning college baseball scholarships and some being drafted into Major League Baseball. June 24th had 6 doubleheaders. The Wally Chiefs edged the host Coquitlam Reds 4-3, but were thumped 10-0 in Game 2 for a split on Monday. The Victoria Eagles edged the visitors Parksville Royals 3-2, followed by a 6-3 win to complete a sweep at Lambrick. The venue host Okanagan Athletics deep sixed the Victoria Mariners 10-0, followed by a 3-0 shutout to complete a sweep at Kelowna's Elk. The visitors Delta Blue Jays defeated the White Rock Tritons 4-1, followed by a 10-0 drubbing to complete a sweep at South Surrey Athletic. The Abbotsford Cardinals doubled the UBC Thunder 8-4, but were shaded 4-3 for a split at UBC. And the host North Shore Twins defeated the Mid-Island Pirates 5-3, but were spanked 12-5 for a split at Parkgate. On June 25th, the venue host Okanagan edged the Victoria Mariners 2-1, but fell in Game 2 for a split at Kelowna's Elk. The Coquitlam Reds looted the visitors Mid-Island Pirates 13-3, who looted the host right back 11-4 for a split at Monday. North Shore shaded the visitors Abbotsford 3-2, but were doubled 6-3 for a split at Parkgate. And White Rock dethroned the host Parksville Royals 12-2 and 6-5 for a sweep at Inouye Field. On June 27th, White Rock swept Mid-Island 5-3 and 9-5 at Nanaimo's Soroxman. Coquitlam thumped the host Abbotsford 10-4 at Del Air, and the visitors UBC bested Delta 8-5 in Richmond's La Trace. On June 28th, the visitors UBC slaughtered Delta 11-1 at Mackey. The host Langley quintupled Abbotsford 5-1 at McLeod Athletic. The visitors White Rock doubled North Shore 4-2 at Parkgate, and Mid-Island edged the Victoria Eagles at Nanaimo Soroxman. On June 29th, White Rock deep-sixed the Victoria Mariners 6-1, but fell in Game 2 7-3 for a split at South Surrey Athletic. Langley shaded the host Parksville 6-5 at Inouye Wallace Field, and the visitors Delta blanked Coquitlam 2-0. There is a doubleheader today. However, on the BC Premier Baseball website, the scores between the Okanagan Athletics and Abbotsford Cardinals at Kelowna's Elk are not available.
If you're a regular listener of this show or other shows on CJSF, we'd love to hear from you. Tell us about what you like and why you like it, as well as ways we can improve our programming. To leave comments, please email cjsfprog@sfu.ca or call 778-782-4423. This information can also be found on our website at www.cjsf.ca.
Sorry, I would like to actually provide a correction to what I just said before the PSA. The first game between the Abbotsford Cardinals and Okanagan Athletics at Kelowna's Elk is final, 10-5 Okanagan. The current game is at bottom of fourth with the Abbotsford Cardinals leading 3-2. Here are the current standings in the British Columbia Premier Baseball League. Langley Blaze are first at 26-11. UBC Thunder are second at 25-11. White Rock Tritons are third at 27-13. Mid Island Pirates fourth 24-15. Delta Blue Jays fifth 25-16. Victoria Eagles sixth 20-20. Okanagan Athletics seventh 17-19. Abbotsford Cardinals eighth at 19-22. Coquitlam Reds 9th, 16-19. North Shore Twins, 10th at 19-23. Wally Chiefs, 11th, 15-27. Victoria Mariners, 12th, 11-31. And Parksville Royals, last at 8-25.
And now for a CJSF Heritage Minute. Simon Fraser University, the 1960s. In the earliest days of SFU, a renegade, unlicensed radio station begins broadcasting around campus. 1974. Volunteers establish the Simon Fraser Campus Radio Society, which operates CJSF to this day. 1985. The station obtains a cable license, bringing CJSF to a wider audience. And we've been changing the sound of radio in Burnaby ever since.
I'd like to talk about the Northwest League at this time. It is a high A league, three levels below Major League Baseball. There were three games on June 24th. The visitors Vancouver Canadiens quad damaged the Eugene Emeralds 4-1 at PK Park. The host Spokane Indians defeated the Tri-City Dust Devils 6-4 at Avista Stadium in Spokane Valley, Washington. And the Hillsboro Hops walked off the visitors Everett Aqua Sox 5-4 in 11 innings at Ron Tonkin Field. On June 25th, Everett doubled Hillsboro 6-3 in 10 innings, Spokane traded Tri-City 4-3, and Eugene defeated Vancouver 6-4. There was only one game on June 27th. The host Vancouver edged Spokane 2-1 in Rogers Field and Nat Bailey. There were two venue changes on June 28th. Tri-City as shaded the visitors Hillsboro 3-2 at Gisa Stadium in Pasco, Washington. The host Everett jumped Eugene 9-4 at Funko, and Vancouver walked off on Spokane with three runs in the bottom of 10th in Rogers Field at Nat Bailey. I believe the score was 4-3. Let me look. Yes, the final score between Spokane and Vancouver was 4-3 in 10 innings on June 28th. Now to June 29th. Sorry, I'm just looking at my script here. Everett edged Eugene 1-0. Tri-City walked off on Hillsboro 1-0 in 10 innings. And Vancouver thumped Spokane 12-5. Three games are on tap today with one in progress. Spokane and Vancouver are tied at 2 in the top of 11th. The later games see Hillsboro and Pasco against Tri-City, while Eugene continues in Everett. The first pitch for both games are at 7:05 p.m.
And now for a CJSF Heritage Minute. During the 80s and the 90s, CJSF would come into its own as a serious platform for independent artists and a forum for people to express ideas not present in the mainstream media. Summer 2002, CJSF receives a license from the Canadian Radio Telecommunications Commission to broadcast over the FM airwaves. February 13th, 2003, 7 p.m. CJSF goes on air at 90.1 FM, and we've been changing the sound of radio in Burnaby ever since.
Here are the current standings in the Northwest League. The Everett Aqua Sox, an affiliate of the Seattle Mariners, are first at 4-1. The Vancouver Canadiens, an affiliate of the Toronto Blue Jays, the first half division winners, are second at 4-2. The Spokane Indians, an affiliate of the Colorado Rockies, are third at 3-3. The Eugene Emeralds, an affiliate of the San Francisco Giants, are fourth at 2-3, much like the Tri-City Dust Devils, an affiliate of the Los Angeles Angels. And the Hillsboro Hawks, an affiliate of the Arizona Diamondbacks, are last at 1-4.
Are you interested in radio? Community-based media? You can join CJSF 90.1. We're a volunteer-run community radio station, and we always have space for new volunteers to become programmers, review music, edit audio, and so much more. All the training is provided, and anyone can join. To volunteer, email our volunteer coordinator, Noel, at vol_4_CJSF@sfu.ca. Again, that's vol_4_CJSF@sfu.ca. Or you can visit our website, cjsf.ca. It's CJSF 90.1. Diverse, independent, and yours.
Thank you for listening to episode 25 of the Steve Chong Show in 2023, part of Open Mic on CJSF 90.1 FM, the campus community radio station for Simon Fraser University. I'm your host, Steve Chong. Coming up at 4, it's Voice of the North. Now to the last tune before 4, it's Olela, Back, 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 with the title track.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 in Burnaby, British Columbia.